What up, basketball fans? Welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Minnesota Timberwolves / Gophers podcast. He's Aaron, I'm Chris, and we really don't know how to act. This is uncharted territory for Minnesota sports fans, especially Timberwolves fans. Up 2-0 on the road. Haven't lost a game. Rudy just freaking had a new kid and won an award. We already had the six-man award. We got MVP and Wolfson 4 chants going on the road, loud as hell, like it's like a fourth of the arena. I mean, I'm still in shock. We were just talking before we hit record. We just don't know how to process what happened last night. Just a sheer and utter domination, man. So we're going to get into the recap with game one, game two. Talk about, you know, some keys, especially containing Jokic and really shutting down Murray. This dude's throwing shit on the court. He's so pissed off. And then, of course, you know, look forward to the next two games. We got one Friday. We got one Sunday. And then we'll probably be able to do a show on Monday. Next Monday. And, you know, I'm hearing that they're going to have a big watch party downtown Minneapolis. I don't know the setup. I'm assuming it's going to be like in an open parking lot. They're going to put up a big screen. So for those folks that aren't going to get in to the arena on Friday, I'm telling you, man, that sounds like a whole lot of fun going downtown. So we're going to talk it all the way through. Still can't believe they're up 2-0. Just unbelievable. Anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeandopenradio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and rope it open. Download the show there directly if you don't want to. There's a lot of places where you can find this year Timberwolves podcast. Under Rope and Dope Radio, it's Apple Podcasts, IR Radio, Player FM, Google Podcasts. You can download the podcast app. Head on over to the Living in Loserville Spricker page, which also hooks you up to Spotify, Living in Loserville. Check it out on Spotify if that's what you got. While you're at it, head on over to thegruelingtruth.com, Sports News 24. One more message from DirecTV Stream. It's playoff time. See the buckets and goals that will crown champions all on DirecTV Stream, plus save $30. Home field advantage for DirecTV Stream that carries the most local MLB games. So play ball. For a limited time, $98.99 for the first 3 months. They also have just the first month of DirecTV Sports Pack is on us. When you sign up, that's a savings of $14.99. Choose the DirecTV streaming package that's right for you. No annual contracts, no hidden fee. If you start with the lowest tier of package, the Entertainment Plus Sports Pack, that'll run you $84.98 for 3 months, which is a pretty good deal for cable nowadays. And by the way, DirecTV Stream is one of those, talking about local stuff with the Bally Sports. I swear they got rid of that stuff just so they could make people buy the app for the playoffs or something like that in the twin season. That sucks. But anyway, this is crazy, dude. This is crazy. Aaron, I've known you for a long time. Before we hit record, I was saying if someone would have came up to me, some casual bandwagon Timberwolves fan, and say, "Hey, dude, we're gonna sweep them. In fact, you know what? We're overconfident. We're gonna win Game Two as well. I'll bet you $100." I would have been like, "Let's go 200, maybe 500." I there's no way in hell, Aaron, that I thought we were gonna win Game Two after winning Game One. Especially the way they did it. I'm still just speechless. You know me. I can't shut up.
I don't know what to say either, Chris. Nice to talk to you again. You know, I guess I got two words, cautious optimism, you know, but that kind of borders on hypervigilance because you're a Minnesota sports fan and you're just, you know, geez, is this too good? You know, you're telling me too many things, but to win six straight playoff games, to sweep the Phoenix Suns. Okay, so you can put that aside. That's over. The Suns weren't playing their best, whatever you want to say about that. Because, you know, we talked last week about going into Denver, how we thought the challenges and these type of things would raise their head and, you know, the fear of Jokic and Murray. And then we see game one, Chris, where they, you know, come out and the Wolves just kind of made a statement. And we'll get into that. And then last night, it was just, you know, Rudy's gone, one for the Gipper. Some kind of defensive, you know, potion going on there that you just don't see in pro basketball anymore. And, you know, the talking heads are all, you know, fuming in the ears. And they don't, you know, their minds are blown as well as ours. It's like it's just NBA stuff that you craved, man. We would talk, I remember in the first few years of our podcast, Living in Loserville podcast, we were like, man, what happened to, you know, big power forwards and stiff defense? We used to watch the Knicks and the Bulls and those kind of things. And, man, I can't even remember. Maybe the Bulls played when they got beat by Orlando and they came back the next year. They had a one game where it was just, you know, they took Horace out. They took Penny out. Shaq was on that team. And they just drilled the Magic. That's the last time I think I saw defense like that. I mean, the defense was ridiculous. And a lot of it, I guess you could say, due to, a long whistle, I guess you could say, because, you know, the refs were just letting them play on both ends. Let's not forget that it worked both ways there, but that's what you get, when you have an energized young team with length, dedicated to defense. And it's not like they just turned, you know, flipped a switch, Chris. They've been doing it all year, maybe not that intense, but, you know, I think now, they're getting a little more respect and it's starting to, you know, make me go, wow, you know, I don't know. Like you said, we had a hard time processing this. And you want to be really optimistic going into the next game, but let's try to remember we're playing the champions. And if they are champions, they were champions, you know, they don't go out easy. So you got a nice series lead. And let's see what happens in game three. But for right now, Chris, game one was a performance that was just almost as shocking because the Wolves played what I think might be the best game I've ever seen them play. The Nuggets played well too, and we just came out, were persistent. Ant had a great game, kind of led them. Carl, his defense on Jokic, besides some of the fouls, I thought he stood up really well. And they just kind of had it all going that night. And, you know, that was, I don't want to say it was more of a surprise because I think there was more on the line last night, but I was a little trepidatious about, you know, going to Denver. And like we said off air, you know, a 1-1 split coming out would have been just fine and almost like what we thought might be the best case scenario. But man, they played game one and, you know, whether Murray's hurt or not, it was another great defensive performance and offense was good as well. And, you know, it's tough to beat this team. They're so young. They're so long. I don't know. I don't want to get hyperbolic, Chris. So I'm trying to be reserved here, but yeah, I mean, it was impressive.
Yeah. Like you said, 1-1, I thought that was the best case scenario as well. Obviously the best case is 2-0, but you know, just logically thinking about this, I was so happy after game one, and that was a slugfest. I mean, it really was. And you know, Ant had 25 points. He was going off beyond maybe 6 or 7 points that Cat got. Everybody else started, and Cat started rough too, but everybody else couldn't hit a shot. I think everyone in the starting lineup, and then I think Alexander Walker and Nas only hit one field goal between. I mean, it was rough. It was rough as far as that goes. But in the same breath, we got up 18-4. Next thing you know, it's like 26-25. You know, the bench struggled that first wave, really picked it up in the second wave in the second half. But we had like 8 turnovers, 6 of them. I think 6 out of the 8 were from the bench. It sure didn't start all that well. You know, it was like, wow, okay. That's a really weird way to start, like, playing bad offensively, but yet getting off to that great lead. And a lot of that was Ant coming out, like I said, 24, 25. I think he had 25 at half. Murray had 0 points, but it's 44-40. Jokic is having a good game at that point, 15.6 boards, 4 assists. But like I said, pretty much everybody else was struggling. Denver got off to a quick start in the third quarter. It was 52-45. And then Cat started going off. You know, he was up to 16 points before you know it. I think he was like 5 of 5 in that third quarter. Then, and it was like spurts. Then it was Conley. He went 4 of 4. Then Ant kind of got it going on again right at the end of the third. And then in the fourth quarter, Cat, there was 3 falls. One of them I didn't think was a fall. The other one I thought was a fall. And then the third one was like kind of one of those from a couple years, Cat, where you're just like, dude, why are you? Murray's shooting, dude. He's shooting from the three-point line. Just let him shoot, man. Don't foul him. But like I said, so you had Cat 5 for 5, Conley 4 for 4, and then Nas goes 4 for 4 and hits 11 straight points. He had 14 in the fourth quarter. And then Ant dug deep into his mid-range bag and pulled out a whole bunch of moves at, you know, spin, fade, back it down, taking your time. And then also you saw, you know, Conley in there clutch as well. But that was a slugfest. Back and forth they went. And, I mean, all, pretty much all the way to the end. I mean, with 5 minutes left, we're up 91-86. It's a tight-ass game. But they just grinded it out. You know, I heard a lot of pundits really happy about that game. Just, you know, couldn't believe how fun that was. But yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's just, it's crazy, like how well they played, like you said, defense and just everybody pitched in. And then overall, Ant was the driving force scoring, really early in the game and then late in the game.
Yeah, that's a great point. Ant did kind of keep them sort of in it, early in the game, Ant and Cat. And then, like you said, Nas in the fourth, huge, just huge, you know, and that's what Nas kind of does. He, in moments when you need him, you know, or you didn't think you needed him, but all of a sudden he's there and he's putting up points. Conley's been great as far as keeping everybody composed and getting us into stuff offensively. Just, you know, and Rudy moving his feet, you know, that's something you don't see a lot. He's coming out and guarding. And then dropping back down and being a rim protector. And I like what they did off, you know, defensively with when you have Rudy and Cat, the Cat's the main defender, Jokic, where Rudy, like you kind of mentioned, when we were talking previewing this series, that you might have Rudy lurk a little bit. And that seems to work out really good. But yeah, the Ants display in the fourth, some of those, you know, the dance and the shot in the mid range, then the, you know, the step back and then the fadeaway was beautiful, man, and timely. And, you know, shots we haven't really seen a lot of in his arsenal. Under control and knew what he was doing. I like the, you know, bring up the play that he had. God, I think it was KCP on him. And he just kind of nudged him off, step back. This is around the free throw line. Him off, step back and hit that shot like he was a fly, you know, and he's on it and he's hitting his shots. He's really taking a step. I don't know if it's something that maybe we're witnessing as, you know, it's always been like that and we're just seeing it through different lens, or if it is actual, like a different type of, I mean, playoff Ant has been playoff Ant for the last 2 seasons, but man, this year it's with purpose. There's a goal. I mean, it's just all there. He's hungry. And you can tell, and his play has been great under control for the most part. He's not, you know, he's not jacking shots he shouldn't. Everything's coming within the offense. And Cat, I just want to say this, man, there's been a lot of hate on Cat throughout the years, some deserved, some undeserved. Besides the fouling issue and the crying about fouls issues, what Anthony's allowed him to do, and it was very relevant in game one, was to fill a role. And I don't want to say it's a number 2 on the team, because I think that's not the way to look at this squad. But the role that he's taken on is kind of, it's a power forward with a 3 element, because he's going out and he's hitting threes. But defensively, to have the responsibility of taking Jokic or whoever's down in the middle, and being able to do that and kind of not foul out and to be responsible. I think Ants, you know, kind of chided him about his fouling and moving his feet on defense. But offensively, I think Cats, we haven't seen the best of him yet in these playoffs. And it's been pretty stellar. I just want to, you know, tip my cap to him. One, for just adjusting to what Ant's doing and the team's doing and filling his role. And, you know, kind of maturing in front of our eyes, which we like to see a lot. And maybe, you know, the situation has helped with that. But, man, you're right about the slugfest in game one. It was a beautiful game to watch. It was a lot of fun to watch. I mean, a little bit nerve-wracking because, you know, we're Minnesota sports fans. And we don't have to belabor the point. But to have them pull it out at the end and close the game, you know, that's something we always kind of, through the Timberwolves throughout the years, we'd be up. God, we used to joke about it, be up 15 at the end of the third and end up losing the game. And man, these guys close it out. The defense never wavers. It's impressive, like I said. And I guess we'd have to say that we're not shocked, but man, are we surprised? Because I didn't see one us playing this well consistently throughout two series. Two, to be as driven and focused as we are. Three, hunger. I mean, all the things we want to see out of a playoff team, your team in the playoffs, you're seeing. And whether they lose, you know, 4 or 5 to Denver, knock on wood, they're not going to do that. But, you know, whether that happens or not, a huge step has been taken. And game one, and we'll use that because that's where we are. If you go on the road, everybody kind of, I won't say they were against them, but the line was definitely against them. And, you know, just to come up and to do what they did there, I thought it was just, it was an impressive thing. And it was also, you know, just a timely, man. We need something like that in Minnesota sports. It's been pretty dismal, especially playoff runs here for everybody. And just making the playoffs, man, it's great to see. It's great to see this. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I mean, I was walking on clouds, you know, after game one. It's just like, dude, that was a battle slugfest. We were right there. We finished it off. That was huge. And it was a team effort. Like you said, of course, Ant, you know, went for 43 or whatever. But, I mean, we also needed those runs by those other players at that time. And, yeah, I was happy. All right, dude, 1-1, dude, we got this, no problem. Then game two came along. No Rudy. Slow-mo's in the lineup. Obviously, the childbirth, you know, with his girlfriend and his partner. You know, there's plenty to say about that or not say about that. A lot of people have different opinions on it. It did seem like he might be able to fly in for the game. That's where the reports, like maybe 90 minutes before the game. But, you know. This is his first kid. I'm not going to sit there and freak out about it, that's for sure. Now, would I have a different mentality if we were down 0-1? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We're not down 0-1, so I couldn't tell you. But, no, it's a hell of a reason. You know, there's excuses, reasons. That's a good-ass reason, I think. But so you're like, okay, no, Rudy, this is probably going to be a score fest because we'll probably score better now that we go back to Cat at center and everything, but we're probably not going to be as good defensively. Boy, oh boy. You know, and it didn't start out like crazy. Like, you know, game one, 18-4, it actually started out pretty mediocre. 11-8 at the 6:49 mark, Cat started hot. So did Gordon. He had a nice layup and then a three. He hit 2 threes early. But still, under 4 minutes to play, it's 18-17. Ant kind of loosened up the defense with two nice drives to finish. Malone should have gotten a tech. Mike Malone, their coach, came running out on the court. But it's 28-20 at the end of the first. You're like, okay. You know, we got 10 points in the paint already. Closed on a 10-3 run. It's like, all right, dude, we're looking pretty good. And there was a moment there where Denver missed 7 in a row and went about 4 minutes without scoring. And that ended up getting to 11 misses in a freaking row. So Cat, this game went off for, I think, 18 or 20 in the first half. He hits this three, and we're on a current 18-3 run. It's 36-20 with 9:21. They haven't even scored in the second quarter, and you're like, oh, my God, Murray's 0-6. Like I said, they had missed 11 in a row. Nas comes in. He goes 3 for 3 from three. It's about midway through the quarter, 42-26. You're like, what the hell's going on? And it just kept going. 61-35. You had Jokic had 4 turnovers. 9 turnovers for Denver at the half. Ant got it going. He kind of found his groove late in that second quarter, got up to 16 points. Cat was 8 of 11, 20 points. Only had one foul, no turnover. So you're like, Jesus Christ, the 61 to 30, like, how is this happening? And, you know, like you just said, you know, Minnesota sports fan, you're still like, okay, dude, this is a lot of time. It's a lot of time in this freaking game. So just calm down. At half, dude, we had 8 blocks and 7 steals. Jaden didn't have a great game. Still was very effective, though. But he was pissed he blew a layup, and so he got a bad foul. Picked up his 4th foul. Cat, I think, had 3 fouls somewhere in the third. But this time, he didn't get his 4th foul to then have to hit the bench early. So that was cool. But you're looking at Murray, like, midway through the third, dude. And he's 1 of 10, and he's throwing heat packs on the freaking on the floor. And Cat almost would have probably slipped on it. And it's funny, I didn't see this live, but in the second quarter, he threw a towel that was trying to go to a ref. So we had a little bit of a sloppy start right away, but then they picked it up, and it just Nas hits another 3, like. Dude, I mean, and then Alexander Walker's like, you know what? Hold on, let me get in on this. And for a second there, it was 26-7 bench points. I mean, you're up 82-60 at the end of the third. I just couldn't believe what I was saying or seeing, and I still wanted to be in my head. I kept saying, Aaron, they're gonna make a run. They're gonna make a run. We just got to be ready for it. You know, they're gonna make a run. And they just never really did.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Chris. It was like that right at that point. I'm like, all right, we're going to get it now. They're coming, you know. And it's like just, you know, continue to play good defense and make your shots and try to maybe slow it down a bit. I had all these plans of like, you know, you're going to get that run because that's what you usually get. And you just kept putting them away. I mean, Murray lost his head. I think it's just, hey, have you met Jaden McDaniels? Because now you know him pretty well. And, you know, just can't get anything off, ankle injury or not. You know, he was kind of out of the game after he got D'd up and then he, you know, sat on the bench. He like said, I don't know what the punishments or if any are going to happen with his, cause I don't think he's the thing
fine.
On the court.
You can't throw shit on me. You know what I mean? There's right. Gotta be at least a fine. And he did the money sign, dude.
Right.
He did the money sign. I forgot about that.
I know. So he's going to get fined for that for sure. Probably. Right. But nonetheless, you know, Kyle Anderson contributed, man. We had 9 rebounds, big rebounds, and, you know, for giving Cat a rest, too. And then Mike Conley, you know, a pretty pedestrian game for him as far as stat line goes. But as far as play went, he had a timely bucket, and then he, you know, led the whole charge. And then what can you say about Nikhil Alexander-Walker, man? I mean, we talked about him last week. I mean, this guy just shows up. When he needs to show up, him and Nas, unbelievable. But yeah, that game was, you know, I knew at the point, Chris, maybe coming out of halftime and they still had the defensive intensity and they were up 30 or 20 something and they're still dogs. They're still coming at them and, you know, picking them up half court, still doing this stuff. I'm like, man, these guys are. You know, it's incredible stuff to watch. I think Barkley was even like, you know, this is the best defensive performance I've seen in ever. He said ever, and that might be a little hyperbole, but man, I mean, you just don't see things like that in today's NBA. And the way the game went, you know, as Minnesota sports fans, like you said, we're like, okay, the run's coming. Let's just hope they can, you know, last through it. And the run never came. I think disheartened Nuggets team at that point, whether it was the officials they were upset about, their own play, maybe they were upset with something the coach might have said at halftime or something, but they just never really made a real run in the second half. And, you know, so it's hard to really gauge, you know, where you are because they're not going to stay disheartened, I don't think, for the next at least 2 games to 3 games. So I think, like, you know, you want to have confidence and you want to see it. But these people that are out here with a sweep thing, I mean, let's slow the hell down on that, you know. Unless it happens, you know, then you can celebrate.
Right.
But I'm not going to anticipate it.
Right?
You
yeah.
still got to say these are the champs, man. They're just going to roll over and die. And they're a pretty talented squad if they get everything going. And, you know, I think they came out with their best effort in mind yesterday, but just got squashed by, you know, the kind of defense that we're playing, passing lanes, all the stuff that, you know, fundamental stuff, rotations and all that stuff has just been golden the last couple of games. And they're not as quick a foot as we are, and they're not as long, and that's becoming evident as we go. I think that they ran into a buzzsaw last night. And, you know, maybe defensive overcompensation for Rudy being out, which worked out to be pretty successful. But I like to see him continue to have that. Now that we know that they have that gear in them, I'd like to see more of it. But yeah, and if there's any question about Rudy, to where I stand on that, man, just, you know, there's basketball, it's your job, and then your family. And if you have a problem with that, maybe your priorities are a little, you know, misguided. I'm not sure. I'm pointing fingers, but, you know, now you're right. If we would have been down 0-1.
I'm not going to lie about it.
I feel like, you know, we kind of need you, man, but.
If we just got beat by 30. I may have a different.
Exactly. You know, we need you really. Sorry, man. We'll send a plane ourselves, but, yeah, man, almost speechless, Chris. I think we had a hard time just finding what to say about game two in an overall sense, because it's just an anomaly. I think it's an anomaly. I mean, I don't think you see a lot of games like that from the Timberwolves especially, but just in general in the NBA, especially in the semis of the playoffs. But, you know, hats off to the Wolves, and let's hope they continue the defense, man, because that's what's been carrying them. And that's what's been frustrating all other teams. It's hard to deal with them defensively. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, to some level, at an elite level, is going to continue, obviously. But I don't know if we're going to have that type of every game, because that was crazy. I mean, Ant and Cat had 36 at the half. The Nuggets had 35. I mean, it's just there was this – per Wolves here, source, Naz Reid and Alexander Walker each had 3 blocks and 3 steals, marking the first time in NBA history that an NBA team had multiple players coming off the bench and had those stats. Like I said, I think six freaking players had at least 3 steals. Like, it's just, you know, through Aaron Gordon had a good first half, kind of fell off. He's minus 56. Over the last 2 games, you have minus 38 so far through 2 games for Murray. He's 9 of 32. That play where you have that they trapped him with Alexander Walker and McDaniels, I mean, how many more highlights can we put up defensively, dude? The points in the paint, the assist 28 to 16. I mean, some of these stats, like, it's the lowest output they put out on the year. Both for us defensively holding someone and them, second lowest or lowest assist rate this year. I mean, it's getting pretty scary. And even Jokic is negative 20 or minus 28. And, you know, that can be misleading because of who you play with. But we are ready. So the last 6 times we played them heading into this game, 4 out of 6, we had kept them under 100. And Jokic was averaging 4.5 turnovers against us coming into this series. It's bumped up to 5.5. I mean, it's just, yeah, man. I mean, those turnovers were just so, so, you know, heavy for us. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, we said we matched up really well. I saw this stat, if you include the last 14 matchups, including last year where it was a 4-1 series. This was going into the game. Now it's 8-7, but Nuggets have 8 wins, 6 for the Timberwolves. But the points were, we had 1,555. They had 1,565. So, I mean, this shit, we're both shooting 49% from the field. This shit is a hell of a matchup. Obviously, those points are swung now in our favor, but it's crazy. And, you know, the length and the lurking ability and just the sheer, you know, Cat, Nas, Slow-Mo. Oh, by the way, Rudy can cover him too, or at least, you know, be there, right there with him. Towns over the last – actually, this was going into the game, so I don't, it's even better now. But over the last seven meetings that he's played Jokic, he's kept him to 36% shooting. And he's a very, very efficient player. So that means even more. They had won before the series started 14 of the last 16 playoff games, for Christ's sakes. I mean, it's just – I don't know how much further we can go on this game too, but, I mean, it is. It's been impressive, man. And to be 6-0 in the playoffs, four of them by double digits, I mean, the shit is crazy, man. It really is. And we're making it tough on Jokic and Murray. You know, when we have so many guys that you can throw at people, so, okay, you're getting foul problems, no big deal, we got you. Yeah, here's the stat. In game two, six players had three steals and a block. It hasn't been done since, okay, most of the playoff games since steals and blocks were official in 1973-74. So before we were born, there's never been in a playoff game six players with three steals and a block. And now there has been. So, yeah, man. I mean, obviously the keys are, you know, with the frustration right now with Murray, with Alexander Walker and McDaniels, and the high turnover rate, and also just making Jokic pretty much have to really work for every – both those guys have to work so hard to get their shots off.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say making Jokic and Murray work, giving them nothing really. I mean, even Jokic with the cheap assists, a lot of that's passing lanes are blocked. You know, anticipation, being able to kind of know, being in your spot where you're supposed to be defensively. And, you know, getting in front of Jokic and just, you know, he's going to get his, but make him work for it and make it difficult. Murray, same thing, you know. I think he's really been bothered by the pressure, which is, you know, good for us, and I continue to do it. But I just don't think he's had someone on his hip so much in his career as he has the last two games. And then Jokic, you know, it's just, like you said, being able to throw bodies at him as well as, you know, having guys in the right place, to, you know, defensively and cutting off his angles and his passing lanes and don't allow him to head the pick and roll is something that, you know, they're going to have to deal with before Friday. But, yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like it's fundamental stuff, but you don't always see it happen. And it's impressive to see the Wolves doing it. And just to say, you know, not, I think I stressed last week, not only are we have the defense, but we have the personnel to do the defense. You know, our wing players are long. Even going to the bench, you know, Nas can defend a few.
Conley's even been playing great.
Right. And a lot of guys can play different positions, you know, defensively can guard different guys. And Jaden's just been attacking on defense, you know, some to his detriment with the fouls, but, you know, Carl also being defensively minded. And now we get to put Rudy back into the equation coming up here on Friday, Chris. I don't know. Are they just going to revert to the game one game plan? Probably not. I'm sure they'll anticipate some changes coming out of Denver. But, you know, maybe talk a little bit once we get into it. Like, what can Denver really adjust to here? Are you going to fix Murray's leg? Or are you going to, you know, make Jokic faster? Are you going to, you know, make someone else longer? Can Porter get more involved? I don't see a lot that they can do. I think there are things, but I don't see what they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously knocking down shots, you know, because they've, for the most part, they played, besides the start, played really well game one. They just lost it, but yeah, for about a quarter and change, they looked pretty good, actually, especially defensively, and then they just fell apart. I mean, yeah, I mean, I anticipate they'll hit some shots, and Murray, I'm not sure, is it one field goal in the first half? I don't know, out of two games. He really hasn't done shit in the series, especially the first half. So, you know, could he go off for 15 or something like that? I could see that. And even like you said, Porter, he's bound to get it going too. So, the thing is that the whole they're it's funny because they don't have a true point guard, and it's starting to catch up with them a little bit. The Suns needed a point guard for other reasons. They have a bunch of scorers, but no point guard. Murray's not, you know, it's more of a two guard, and KCP's not a point guard. So their point guard is Jokic, and they're playing that two-man game, but when you have these type of defenders, like you said, and this type of length and this energy, it's tough to operate. And you can literally see, like, Towns or Nas will just stay with Jokic, dude. They just don't care. You do a pick and roll, okay, I'll move a little bit. Okay, I'm back. Like, I saw both Nas and Cat turn their back to the guy who had the ball just to go chase down Jokic again, because more than likely, if you go chase the guy with the ball, they're just going to give it to Jokic, and he's going to have it with, like, 8 to 6 feet, and he's going to make that bucket or make an extra pass, or it's an easy bucket somewhere in there. And maybe draw a foul or whatever. He's good at that as well. So they've been literally sometimes turning their back, running in the pick and roll to make sure Jokic doesn't get the ball, to take away that pocket pass. So it's I do think that – go ahead.
I think that's a great point, what you said about the not having a point guard, particularly when you're facing the kind of pressure that they're facing. You know, that's when you need the point guard. And I think maybe that's something that Finch seized on, was like, look, you know, even when – look back last year and the year before, when we really didn't have him, we had D'Lo, you know, not a true point.
And Pat Bev, not really a true point guard, you know.
Right, and you could do a lot of things, and we'd get messed up coming into sets and doing things like that, nothing to really calm anything down, no place to have the ball when the pressure's coming, nobody to trust with the ball when the pressure's coming. I mean, that is a huge point that you made, and I missed it, but you're right. I mean, to have, that's what a point guard is. He's the guy that is in charge of the ball and getting it to where it has to go under pressure. And if you don't have that, then pressure the hell out of him. I think that's something that we're seeing here, Chris, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, so I think that there may be an adjustment where the guy who has the ball will just pull up or keep going even further to the rim, but then again, you're just running into Rudy, so... but I think that they're going to – if a guy's blatantly running away from you, turning your back, and you have the ball, you got to do something there. Whether it's just dribbling in and get closer and taking a seven-foot jumper, it's got to be something. Because literally I saw people clipping up this stuff. I saw it in the game a couple times, but then I saw someone really clipping it up on Twitter. And it was like both him and Nas were turning their back on the defender or on the offensive player with the ball. They're like, no, you're not getting that back to Jokic, dude. You're just not going to do it. So you got to figure it out. So I think they will have some success there. I got to say that. But overall, we've seen him so much. We play him four times a year. We talked about how regular, you know, I just did that stat that had to do with a 4-1 series, you know, which is, I suppose, at 4-3 now this year and next year, but or last year and this year. But regular season, we were 7-3. The last 10 games. So we've never been afraid of this team. We know we match up with them. And Tim Conley's just, this dude's playing chess. I mean, dude built a championship team and then says, you know what? Let me go build a team to try to beat that team. Now it's not over, like you were saying. But, and also, like you said, with Cat, you know, what he did in that, like if you would have told me, okay, in this series, we're going to put him on Durant, and in this next series, we're putting on the Jokic. It's kind of like, what are we doing? Hold on. Did someone say that right?
Can you run that by me again? Yeah.
I can't access my email right now. I think I'm accessing the wrong one. I didn't get the memo.
Sorry, my phone was on airplane mode, and I
– Right.
Yeah, I didn't.
And he's fit in for scoring when it's time to score, and it's there. And – he's not worried about, okay, let me try to score more. And it's like when the matchup's there, when there's a small guy in him and they get the ball to him, boom, he's going to go. He's just making, for the most part, the right read. needs, just like we talked about with Ant too, just in a different way. And he to dedicate so much on the defense and rebounding. He's gotten some really tough rebounds. And that's what, if you're going to be big, you got to be big. And sometimes there were moments in the last years where we weren't taking advantage of that. But at the same time, we've managed not to get fast break to death either being this big, which really attributes to this year in our team and being focused pretty much the whole game in the little details of the assignments. But when you look at it, so all this defense is great, all this rebounds great, decision making, but he's now on a little three-game run in the playoffs, right? 28, 20, and 27. And he would have probably put more damage in this last one, potentially, if we didn't put in the bench. And he got in those, you know, he had that really dumb fall on Murray in the three-point shot. Otherwise, he probably would have gotten more points, too. So, you know, we need him right around the, we talked about it before, the 16, 18, and somewhere in the 20s. You know, that's really ideal so we can have a second scorer that we can, you know, that we can rely on for the most part at certain parts of the game. But that's not going to be your main function. And you know, he's really done that. And obviously, it is a big – and then Nas, the back-to-back productive games, he had a – you know, he had these little moments in two out of the four games against the Suns. But we talked about how this could be his series too, and these back-to-back games have been phenomenal right at the right time. I mentioned how Rudy won the – the defensive player of the year. Nas has the sixth man. Ben Wallace and Hakeem are the only now, there's three of them now, because Rudy, this is his fourth time winning this award. Hakeem Olajuwon, defensive player of the year, and Wallace and Hakeem have it. Now, you know, we could go back to Bill Russell and we could, you know, Bill Russell probably should have won it eight times, but it didn't exist back then. Because remember, at some point there was no rebounds or blocks. Well, there's no block stat for a long time too. Just like on defense for football, there's no sack stack for a while. You go back and check that shit out, you're like, oh my God. So Bill Russell would have got a bunch of them and some other players before that, but especially Russell. But four times now, and you look at it, dude, you know, I feel like you got to win one of these next two games at home. I know everyone's going to be like, dude, we're home, we're not losing. If we just beat them twice, they're fully capable of, you know, capable of winning at least one game here. So if you get one out of the two, and you're looking at three home games, you know, to game six, two out of three home games, not getting beat three straight times, which only Boston and the Wolves that, you know, have accomplished this year. You just got to keep your eyes on the prize, one game at a time. And just buckle up and finish this thing off. When you're up 2-0, you got to finish this thing off. Being up 2-0 and you have home court, that's not the craziest thing. But when you take two games on the road, two out of three I think is very doable at home, Aaron.
I agree. Let's just do a little thought experiment here, Minnesota sports-wise. Ways in which we could lose game three. Now, obviously, you come out complacent, you know, think that you've already won. I don't see that happening now with Ant involved in the game. Bad shooting, turnovers will get you. That's been a bugaboo all season. You could possibly, but that's complacency. That's not being focused. That's lack of discipline. That's a lot of stuff like that. just get beat. Like maybe Denver just comes out and finds their groove and, you know, plays a little loose because they're on the road. You're down 2-0. What do they got to lose? Comes out and plays a masterpiece of an offensive game or figures out something on you that you didn't know, you know, a weakness that you have that you weren't aware of. You know, maybe it's the refs. They get Cat out in the first quarter or you know, get him bogged down in fouls.
Right.
McDaniels, they take out key pieces, injuries that could possibly happen, knock on wood, to change things. So you're not out of the woods here and people getting really overconfident and just forgetting. One, they're the champions. Two, we just won two on the road. That means they could just win two on the road just like that. We split the series with them throughout the season. Like you just went through the stats. It's been a competitive matchup, you know, since these teams have been at it. So maybe you can think of another couple, you know, ways. I'm trying to level people's heads a little bit and keep people focused on the fact that you have to win four games, not two games. And, you know, I think they're capable of sweeping the Denver Nuggets the way the Denver Nuggets have shown themselves at to this moment. But you have to also look at the fact that, you know, these guys are pros just like you. They've got championship experience, and I'm not making a case for them. I'm just saying, hey, man, if they're not focused, if the Wolves are not focused and they're not, you know, eyes on the prize like you mentioned earlier, it's very easy to lose to these guys. You want to get at least one of these home games. And if you can get both, well, you know, that's the end of the series and you're resting up for the next one. But by no means is that a foregone conclusion. And I think I would be just as happy as you to have a split here at home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, right when you started talking about it, I wrote down turnovers. I think, you know, that you explained that really well. And then just them hitting shots, you know. I think Murray getting off, Porter getting off. I think just hitting shots and getting to the line, that type of thing. They definitely got to the line in the second half more. I will say that they ended up with more trips to the line than we did. And, you know, in the second half of game one, we shot 71% from the field. You know what I mean? We're probably not going to do that again. Yeah, I could see it just, and maybe it wouldn't be complacency. If we do come out complacent, we could get our ass kicked. But I don't think it'll necessarily be that. I think there are some natural things, especially for a team that hasn't been there and done that, where you just kind of let up on the gas barely. Just, I mean, you know, few percentage points, and that's all that could do it, you know. So I think that, if not game three, for sure game four, that they'll just be hitting shots, dude, and they'll play better in the first half. They'll have a sizable lead, and they'll put us in a, you know, in a state of having to come back. And maybe, you know, Cat and Ant go into that, well, I guess we're the offensive guys, let's go. And then maybe they do turn the ball over too much or take poor shots or whatever. I could see some of that down by 14.
Yeah, screw, maybe pressing, you know, yep.
Right, pressing, yep, exactly. Yep. So, yeah, I would be my prediction, is 1-1. I know we are going to get some heat for that because, dude, we just did this. I hear you, but I just look at it, not just Minnesota sports, but historical factors. You know what I mean? That's the same reason why I would have bet that they wouldn't have went 2-0. And you know what? Next year, I'd take the same bet because it's not going to happen. You know what I mean? So that's just how you kind of got to look at it. Take the Minnesota sports out of it, which you can. But at least put it to the side, just historical playoffs with this type of roster, this type of coaching, this type of experience. They've been together for so many years, the core. So these guys are not going to go down. And like you said, let's celebrate it, you know, if we do top it off again. Let's wait for that, though. Let's not act like this is going to be an easy street.
You have to think this is the Alamo for the Nuggets, right?
I mean, yes.
This is where they're at. You know, their back is firmly against the wall here, and they're fighting for it. And, you know, I guess they say a cornered rat is the most dangerous thing, or something like that. But you get the point. It's like,
yeah, you can't, in general, right? Yeah,
unless these guys got some internal crap and they're not going to come lay an egg. And that doesn't mean we can't beat them on our best night and their best night. Obviously we can, but and our home court, you know, I just don't think, you know, pressing's a big one, Chris. I think you got a good point there. Just coming out and just, you know, just trying to do too much. And getting out of the flow and kind of just getting like, a little herky jerky about it and not, you know, just not doing what's gotten you to this point so far, I guess. And that would be Minnesota sportish as well. Just to have something like that. But, you know, my prediction is, because I'm going to be a little conservative here, I'm going to say it's 1-1, but there is a high chance, Chris, that they win these two games. I think that's a higher possibility than I'm willing to say. Because I just, you know, what would we, you think we're speechless at this point, and we went to more to another show. We're like, okay,
yeah, you know, we just name right, yeah, there.
Exactly.
You'd have to change names.
It'll be a renaming the podcast podcast.
That'll be the episode. I've already put when I tweeted, like, Timberwolves basketball podcast. You know, I've already been doing that because, it's wild, dude.
And I think maybe
OKC, Dallas, we match up good with them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just most pro pundits tune in, think this is one of the best, if not the best series in the playoffs, you know, on paper going into it. But they also think this is basically the conference final. Now, what's that mean? You know, nothing really, but that's the type of vibe it has. And like I said, if Dallas were to upset, you know, OKC, we'd have home court again, you know? So, I mean, but you, like you said, you don't want to get ahead of yourself. You want to try to go 1-1 here. And I know we're going to get some heat for it. You're going to try to, you try to go 2-0. Yeah, we know you try. You try every fucking game. Do you go 82-0? No, you don't. You lose some. So, but yeah, I'm with you. I think 1-1 is actually what's going to happen too. I think that's a very common thing.
So what is your updated prediction for the series?
Take a game off.
So you're thinking
seven?
And
I think it'll be six. Yeah, because I think we can win two out of our three home games. And we're going to get beat three times in a row.
Yeah, I like Wolves in five, I think. I think we drop one of these home games, and then we come back to that next home game. And and then we win. But yeah, I mean
that would be crazy too, dude. Winning all three games on the road, dude. But the way it's going, I mean, you know, I can't say you're crazy.
No, I'm just trying to be like cautiously, like it's in the beginning, cautiously optimistic. There's not a lot of reason from what we've seen in this series to date. I don't see a lot of avenues that Denver can take besides, you know, just sucking it up and playing their game, which we could still win. You know, it doesn't mean we will, but, you know, it's still possible to play their best game.
Right? And Jokic, I could see him go get a 40-point game the next time out, you know.
But I feel like if he gets 40, Murray's not going to get anything.
Yeah, well, he may just finally go off. But Rudy, you see in game two especially, but game one too, he started catching up to those short lobs. He blocked about two or three of them, dude. And that one where you go up too close to him and he just gets an easy log and Gordon comes from the side and it's a dunk, it's no problem. He blocked a couple of those, dude. And I think it was in game one where he got, well, obviously it had to be game one, but he got two or three of those where he swatted away. That's a block because it's not a shot. So I know it's not a block, but he swatted away easy alley-oops. And they get that thing a couple times a game. And I don't know. Considering they're the returning champs, they definitely – I'll say this. It's very rare to have your head down and look depleted like that to that level. But their heads were down in the dirt. By the way, Monty Morris was out for the remainder of that second half with the right index finger sprain. So he's given a spot minutes at point guard. Obviously not a lot of them. Obviously we do have J-Mac, but he's been steady for a handful of minutes at a time. So hopefully, and that's a shooting hand, so a finger. So hopefully that doesn't last too long.
What your point about they're looking dejected. Not only is it strange to see, but how easy is that to come back from, you know, for, I guess you get a few days to, you know, regroup, but yeah, you rarely see champs go on with their heads down and just dejected and all the frustration we saw illustrated in game two, around their coach Murray, you know, body language, Jokic's play. We just saw a lot of like a beaten team now. You got time to try to get that going, but how often do you see a team bounce back, you know, from that sort of dejection? I mean, obviously we've seen some pretty dejective squads here in Minnesota, and bouncing back is not the easiest thing. to do. Now, I'm not saying they won't, because I think everybody's just giving Denver the benefit of the doubt because they're you know, standing champions. And I think that's fair. But they just got their ass whooped by the young upstart Wolves. And, you know, thank God it's a series. But it just, man, I'm struggling to find the obvious answer for the Nuggets. And I keep trying, man, because like I said, I'm just trying to keep a level head here.
Yeah, it's difficult, man. It's very difficult to keep a level head. But as much as I want to sleep, it just, I won't think it can happen until it actually would happen. Anything else other than that, you can shut this puppy down, sir.
Well, that's fair. I think you're right about the sweep thing. It's, you know, it's not out of the realm possibility. In fact, it's quite a good possibility.
Just went up.
Right. But I don't want to be the one to say it, and then, you know, it takes six or seven to win. I mean, a win is a win, don't get me wrong, but I'd like to see it. I'd like to see the Wolves come out, play their best. You get this podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Obviously you're listening, so you know that. Check out the Rope-A-Dope Radio. A lot of good shows there, a lot of boxing content. And the College Ball Show is a great one to watch or to listen to, actually. And, you know, let's be cautiously optimistic. You know, let's try to keep, you know, if we lose game three, let's not lose our heads and go crazy. There's, you know, sure, seven games to go, but I think the Wolves are standing in great position, going forward, and we'll just, you know, we'll be back probably next Monday, and we'll,
talk about what happened. Friday and Sunday, right? So
yep.
Yeah, Monday's perfect.
All right. So we'll talk to you then.